is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at a lot of topics related to the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's been many and varied impacts on us around Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again today.
Well, thank you for having me.
The first question, and I got it a number of times over the past few days, there was an Oregon Health Authority release, of course, a few days ago about this. Talk about these cases where fully vaccinated people are still getting COVID-19. What can you tell us about that?
Well, these cases where fully vaccinated people are getting this are called breakthrough cases. So if you finish your vaccine series, gone 2 weeks, and then get the disease, we're considering those to be breakthrough cases. And there clearly are some of those. Now, you'd expect some of those because this vaccine, while very good, is not 100% effective. So you'd expect some of those just statistically that it's not 100% effective. But in addition, what we're seeing is that some of these breakthrough cases are related to the presence of one of the variants.
And those variants are popping up more and more as a concern. Talk more about those.
Well, the variants are a huge concern. In the East Coast, the UK variant, which is the B117, is the predominant strain. And on the West Coast, the Southern California variant, or the B1429, is the predominant variant. And this B1429 is especially worrisome because it seems to be more contagious and it seems to get less protection from the vaccine and from previous infection.
Now, one of the aspects to this, in fact, somebody mentioned it to me yesterday, they had just begun to relax a little bit, feel better after having been vaccinated and a little less, under stress from this whole COVID situation. And now, frankly, they're not so sure.
Yeah. And so I think in much of the country, they're seeing a big increase in cases, so that if you're in Michigan, I'm not sure this is the time to back down. They're having every bit as high in case count as they had over Christmas.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about Michigan here in a little bit. For the vaccine rollout in this area, how are we doing, and are we getting a fair amount based on the state supply?
We are. So vaccine rollout is going very well. We're just at about the state average in terms of number of people vaccinated, and the number is even better than that because we still don't have the data from the VA and Cow Creek. So I think we're doing well on the vaccine. I think we're getting a good amount of vaccine. This week we're getting 6,640 doses, so enough to vaccinate about 5% of our population.
Now, for the vaccine rollout, I know that, of course, Aviva's clinics, one going on this afternoon in Myrtle Creek on Wednesday as well. And then you've got these Tiger Team clinics or pop-up clinics. Talk more about those.
So the Tiger Team is a group of six individuals from DPHN plus people from Umpqua Valley Ambulance who are giving vaccine to difficult populations. So, for example, people who live in very distant areas like Tokatee or Camas Valley, to seasonal farm workers, to certain ethnic populations that may have difficulty. So they're really trying to reach out to those people who are hard to get to.
Now, for those, and we'll have a schedule out later at 541radio.com about where some of those are, but are those invitation only? Do you have to have appointments? How do those work?
So, for example, in Tokatee, they're doing some specifically for people who work at the power station, but then it's going to be an open event. So the Tiger Team is pretty much an open event. Now, they can only carry so much vaccine at a time, so they had a huge demand. They might outrun their vaccine, but in general, these are going to be open for the public.
And they'll be at Tokatee tomorrow and Camas Valley Wednesday, also in 10 Mile Wednesday, and then on Thursday in the Melrose area out at on Melqua Road at Coal Valley Vineyards. And again, we'll have that up later at 541radio.com. The new numbers are out for Douglas County. Talk about where the case numbers are.
Well, our case numbers have been incredibly steady over the last 2 weeks. averaging between 8 and 10 cases a day. We're still seeing outbreaks at workplaces. We're still seeing some church outbreaks, and we're seeing some school outbreaks. So those are the three areas: workplaces, churches, and schools.
Now, 7 new positive test results today have been reported, and I've been kind of keeping a daily tally as we go along between the county numbers and the Oregon Health Authority state numbers as well. If we can push a little harder this week on numbers reducing, is there a potential at the end of this risk period Saturday for us to get back to the medium risk county category of the 23rd of April?
Well, I think there is still a possibility. We're always a possibility until we get over the number, but we're a little higher than I would like. You know, we really need to get down to 6 or 7 a day to get us into that lower risk range.
Well, we'll continue watching that throughout the week. The last week, I think the county reported 62, the state reported 68, because those come out at different times of the day, et cetera. And the threshold for getting down to medium risk, if I remember right, it's 112, right?
Yes. So it's 100. It's 100 cases per 100,000 people. Since we have 112,000 people in the county, it's 112.
All right. So we'll continue to watch that, but there is at least the potential for that, but it's going to have to trend lower this week than it did last week, but we've certainly been dropping. Now, statewide, the case numbers seem to be going up, but yet we've had multiple days in a row without any deaths. That's rather interesting.
So what we're seeing is that the deaths were mostly concentrated in older people and people living in nursing homes. The state and the country as a whole has done a very, very good job of vaccinating people in older people in nursing homes. And so we are seeing two shifts. One is a shift to a younger population. The second is a lower rise in hospitalizations than you would expect and a decreased number of deaths. So those are all good things, but we're going to need to get the disease countdown in all age groups to get past this.
And around the state, are there particular areas of a special concern right now?
Well, Portland area is starting to heat up again. Some of the eastern Oregon counties have had more cases than they've had in the past. And Josephine, Jackson, and Klamath County are struggling with more diseases than they previously had.
Now, you mentioned Michigan a few minutes ago. Folks may have heard on the national headlines over the weekend about the number of cases there and a number of restrictions going back into effect for a period of time. Anything in particular that's led to the case numbers going up in Michigan?
So Michigan has been racked with the B.1.1.7. So the B.1.1.7 is the UK variant, and the UK variant is 50% more infectious, which just makes this really hard to control.
And I guess I'm wondering, in terms of it being concentrated in a particular area, is that just due to its rapid spread? And once it starts spreading, it's hard to control?
Once it starts spreading, it's hard to control unless you do very aggressive public health measures such as a lockdown. So in the UK, when this first started, they saw how dangerous this could be, and they did go to a lockdown. As you know, many states in the U.S. Would not tolerate that at this point, and that is the concern.
What about around the world? Talk about hot spots and places that are doing especially well.
Well, I think the Pacific is doing very well. Again, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea are doing very nicely with very low levels of disease, so much so that they've gotten rid of masks and distancing and all the other restrictions that they've needed to do. So there are some places that are doing well and then other places that are really struggling.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. More on Inside Douglas County when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lakeside, Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. On tomorrow's program, we talk about Project Turnkey with Melanie Plummer of Peace at Home Advocacy Center and also a guest from the Oregon Community Foundation. That'll be on tomorrow's program. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, our weekly deep dive into issues surrounding COVID-19. As this evolves, some people say COVID-19 may end up like the flu and never totally go away. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's very unlikely that it's going to totally go away. As we see, this virus spreads very nicely in the summertime and in the wintertime. So unlike flu, which spreads very little in the summertime, this one is year-round. In addition, to get everybody vaccinated, there's a lot of people in the world, it's going to take a long time to do this. So I think for at least the foreseeable future, this is going to be with us.
Now, with the sunshine and the warmer weather here, people are wanting to be outside more. It's going to be 80 later in the week. For those that have been vaccinated in particular, give us your take on what they can safely do with a few friends or family.
People who are vaccinated, you can do almost any outdoor activity. For people who are vaccinated, you can go to dinner with another fully vaccinated couple. You can visit low-risk people like your grandchildren. And you can safely do discretionary travel.
And for a lot of people who have kind of pulled back for a year now, that probably is very welcome news, especially as they look towards summer.
It's incredibly welcome news for having a much more normal summer. So a much more normal summer could allow things like music on the half shell. It could allow things like a fair to go on.
So I was noticing a few days ago up in Portland, somebody's putting together or sort of redoing a venue to be a socially distanced venue, smaller occupancy concerts, people kind of in pods as couples or small groups. A lot of logistics to making things like that work, though. Do you feel like that's the way that this summer is going to look in terms of some of those events?
Right. I think this summer is going to look not back like the old days, but it's certainly going to be a lot more open than it was last summer.
And looking ahead here, or rather looking back for the past year, Douglas Public Health Network, the COVID-19 response team, all the people involved, how are they doing after dealing with this for a year? It seems like a pretty ominous wait.
We're a little tired. I mean, we've been working 7 days a week since last March. And so we have four teams who work, and every fourth weekend they're on call. And then the other weekends we have some of these events. So people are working hard. But if you can't work hard during a pandemic in public health, when will you work hard?
And you have talked about the county in terms of the job that's been done, not necessarily versus other counties, but as you've said over and over again, that you feel like things are being handled particularly well here in terms of the contact tracing. Talk about all the work that goes into that.
Well, contact tracing is a complex thing. So after a case is known, we have a case investigator do an interview. That interview can take as much as an hour, going through all the places where that person might have gotten the disease and then anybody else that they might have contacted and infected. We then work with the people who need to be in isolation and quarantine so that they can be successful. For some people, that's delivering groceries. For some people, that's doing things like fixing their thermostat, doing all the kinds of things that help people to stay in when they are either in isolation or quarantine. And then we call them daily during their isolation period. And then for our high-risk people, continue to call them because we know that even after people are no longer contagious, they can have issues. And so there have been a couple of cases where we've called people later on. They're struggling, and we've been able to get them into care. So it's a great effort by these people. The people who are doing it in Douglas County are all local people we've hired to go ahead and do that contact tracing.
And this is really kind of a sort of a new occupational field in some ways.
We didn't have any contact tracers before this, so this is really new for all of those people doing contact tracing.
I know for the, I mean, there are some public health staff that had learned kind of the science behind that and for other health situations. And yet you were able to pull a lot of people in. How difficult was that?
It was a bit tough, but we have a lot of connections. The people who've been working here have been in the community for a long time. So we knew a lot of people who were looking to help us. In addition, there have been a number of people who are working for us who were laid off because their jobs either went away or they were just not needed at their previous job. So we've been able to hire people, and that's one of my proudest achievements of this time.
Now, the other aspect as well, as funds have come in from different places, the county, for instance, buying some vehicles recently and for the, I think it's the Tiger Team, using some of those, things like that has been happening too.
Yeah, the county has been incredibly supportive. They've purchased some vehicles that Aviva's using, two vehicles that we're using for our Tiger Team. And really, anytime we need anything, the commissioners have been amazing in getting us what we need. So one of the greatest parts of this is never having to beg or go without. Everything we've needed, we've gotten.
And as you talk to folks, your counterparts in other parts of the state, is that as common other places?
Oh, no. So I think we're one of the few counties that have gotten basically everything we need. And because we're doing this with a public-private thing with DPHN being able to hire people, we've been able to hire people quickly and get the people we want.
Now, I know at one point you were actually helping other counties as well sometimes. Is that still going on?
Yes. So just this morning I was on a call with the state, and they're struggling to deliver Pfizer vaccine to the clinic, so they came to us to ask how we've done it since we've been doing it now for 3 months. So, yeah, we do seem to be in the forefront in many ways, and we are helping out the other counties as we can.
And what's the particular challenge of Pfizer?
So Pfizer vaccine is complicated because it needs to be stored at the ultra cold storage. Once it also comes in packs of 1,100 doses. So in Douglas County, what happens is it gets delivered to Aviva. The people at Aviva store it at the ultra-cold temperature and then divide it into smaller lots so that a clinic that only needs one or two vials can deal with it. In other parts of the state, they've not done that. So you have your choice of getting 1,100 doses or nothing. And we think that's a silly way to do it.
As you've monitored around the state, I saw an article over the weekend that in some counties they've done vaccination clinics and had very few people show up.
Yeah, I think that we're starting to see a slackening of demand, although our clinics have all had pretty good attendance. Aviva did some clinics last week that had good participation in Sutherland and Myrtle Creek. We had great participation at our drive-through clinic on the 3rd. And we're having another one on the 24th, and we're seeing lots of people want to sign up for that. So we're expecting to see a softening of demand. We're not quite there yet. What we want to do is get enough people vaccinated so we can get these numbers down so low so that we can get rid of any of the restrictions.
And for those who are leery for various reasons of getting vaccinated, address those concerns.
So there are a number of concerns that people have voiced. Now, one of the concerns that people have said is, look, I'm young and healthy. I don't really want to get this vaccine and displace an older or sicker person who needs it. And that's very magnanimous. But we're at a time now where we have plenty of vaccine, so really anybody can get vaccinated. We've heard some people say, geez, I went through the OHA site and it's a complicated deal whether I'm eligible or not. And I would agree it is complicated. So starting on the 19th, everybody 16 and above will be eligible. We hear some people who worry that they don't want to be first. I can see you don't always want to be first in line. However, there are 100 million people in the U.S. who've gotten the vaccine. So I don't think you have to worry about being first in line. And then there's some people worried about side effects. And the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, which are the predominant vaccines we're given here, have some issues with allergy, but otherwise have been incredibly safe vaccines. So while I know people do worry about side effects, we're really not seeing it. And I will tell you that as these vaccines are out longer and longer, we're not seeing unexpected things later on.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhoff for our weekly in-depth look at COVID-19. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. And remember, it's your turn to get the vaccine.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.